Now, let me move on. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I'm not sure, but what we've come there today, by and large, we are absolutely, may I say, we're startled, we're amazed, we're overwhelmed by the number of people today that are listening to the teaching of the Word. But when I begin to put that group down by the total population, it's a very small percentage, really. There are very few church members today that will endure sound doctrine. They don't want sound doctrine at all. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Let me enlarge upon that, because I have what I think is a very important comment on this particular passage. Shall they heap to themselves teachers? And I want to read to you what Dr. Vinson has said in his Word Studies. And I'm reading now, shall they heap to themselves teachers? That means shall invite teachers en masse in periods of unsettled faith, skepticism, and mere curious speculation in matters of religion. Teachers of all kinds swarm like the flies in Egypt. The demand creates the supply. The hearers invite and shape their own preachers. If the people desire a calf to worship, a ministerial calf maker is readily found. And that is true today. Someone has said that the modern pulpit is a sounding board that is merely saying back to the people what they want to hear. Now, having itching ears, and again let me quote Dr. Vinson, Clement of Alexandria describes certain teachers as scratching and tickling. In no human way the ears of those who eagerly desire to be scratched. Some come to hear, not to learn, just as we go to the theater for pleasure to delight our ears with the speaking or the voice or the plays. Now, this is certainly a picture today. Someone again has said, some people go to church to close their eyes and others to eye the close. That's the thing that brings them out. Now, the day will come when churchgoers do not want sound doctrine. That means, actually, the word is healthy, and they want instead a substitute. They don't want the Word of God. May I quote from a man I consider a very great preacher today? He was a great pastor in Covington, Kentucky, and in Chicago at the great Moody Church, Dr. Warren Wiersbe. And I quote him now. He says, they want religious entertainment from Christian performers who will tickle their ears. We have a love for novelty in the churches today. Emotional movies, pageants, foot-tapping music, colored lights, etc. The man who simply opens the Bible is rejected, while the shallow religious entertainer becomes a celebrity. And verse 4 indicates that itching ears soon will become deaf ears as people turn away from the truth and believe man-made fables. Now, that's a very excellent statement. Let me read verse 4 now in that connection. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They won't want to hear sound doctrine. They got itching ears. Something novel. Something that will entertain them. When I first came to California, the late Dr. Gabeline wintered out here in Pasadena at a very famous old hotel. And when he was here for the winter, Dr. Chafer wrote me from Dallas. He said, Dr. Gabeline is down there. And he said, let me suggest that you go down and visit him. He'll appreciate a visit from you as he gets lonesome. And so Dr. Gabeline then was way up in years, been a great man of God and a great teacher. I still benefit from his books. And friends, when we go back to Ezekiel, where we go next time, why, you are going to listen to someone who studied under Dr. Gabelein the book of Ezekiel. And he's the man that opened the book to my understanding. And so I went down to see him, naturally. He'd been a teacher. And so he asked me, I just come to California. He says, how do you like California? You know, I said, this is a strange place. I love it here, but it's very interesting. I said, I've already found that if I teach the book of Revelation, I can fill the church, even during midweek service. But I said, then I can begin teaching the epistle to the Romans, and I can practically empty the church. And I said, I find there are people that will run all the way across this area to find out from some speaker who will tell them how many hairs are in the red horse's tail in Revelation. And he made this statement to me, and I shall never forget it. He said, in his broken accent, he said, Dr. McGee, you are going to find out in your ministry that there are a great many people more interested in Antichrist than they are interested in Christ. And there are a lot of folk with itching ears. They like to hear about these strange, weird, unusual things. They want to be entertained. They want to be told how nice they are. But they don't want to be given the Word of God. I, very frankly, get some letters from folk that say, when I started listening to you, I not only didn't like your accent, didn't like what you said. You stepped on my toes. Well, I didn't step on their toes. I don't even know them. The Word of God does. And so they said, then we began to listen, and we found out that this was good for us. Now, I imagine that there are a great many that tune me in and then tune out, and I never hear about them at all. Why? They want to be entertained. I feel like that I'm like that advertisement about Listerine. I hate it, but I use it twice a day. And I think there are a great many people start out saying, boy, I don't like that. I don't like what he's saying. But they begin to listen. They find out it's good for them. I'm the spiritual Listerine of radio today, and I don't mind being that because it's good for you. And I hate it, but I use it twice a day, and I love those people that do that, that listen to the program. Now, will you notice, he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Now, the work of an evangelist here is not quite the way we understand it. Actually, the work of an evangelist was a traveling teacher in that day, a missionary. Paul was an evangelist in that sense. And he says to Timothy, you're to do the work of an evangelist. And that's what this man had done when he was with the Apostle Paul. Now, he said, you're going to suffer afflictions, hardships. It's going to cost you something to preach the Word of God in the last days. And we seem to be there.